Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let's return now to the preparations being made ahead of the arrival of Storm Io. And I'm joined on the line now by Head of Media Relations with the DAA, Graham McQueen. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Claire.
So what's the advice for passengers who have flights from Dublin or Cork Airport in and around this red warning time?
The main advice, Claire, is to check with your airline regarding the status of that flight. We've been chatting with airlines this morning at both airports to see what their plans are for tomorrow. And no news yet. We're still waiting to hear what they intend to fly tomorrow. I think it's very much an evolving situation. So those discussions will continue over the course of today. But if you are due to fly, certainly the next 24, 36 hours, make sure you're staying in close contact with your airline to get the latest on that flight.
Is there any chance that either of the airports could close?
Look, there's always a chance, but it'll depend on how high the winds get. There's a certain tolerance that we can withstand, not just for bringing flights in and out. You know, the rate of knots is scheduled to get, you know, forecast to get up to possibly into the 70s and 80s. So that's very high. That would have an impact on flight operations, but also just on getting planes ready, getting people onto planes, luggage onto planes, using things like air bridges. So there's a lot to consider over the next sort of 24, 36 hours, but we'll absolutely be keeping and safety first will be the thing for us. But you know, it depends how bad it gets ultimately.
Right, but a red warning doesn't automatically mean that the airports are closed.
No, we'd operate using a different system. So we come down to those consistent gust speeds. So anything over 40 becomes troublesome for airports. So we'll be watching those speeds very, very closely. And if we get into dangerous territory, that will, you know, we may need to look at closing the airports if it got to that stage. We hope it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But we'll certainly, as I say, be taking the safe approach.
All right. So check with your airline is the advice there from Graham McQueen from DAA. I'm joined by Corporate Communications Manager with Irish Rail, Barry Kenny. Barry, thank you for being with us. And rail services will be severely disrupted during this red warning.
They will, Claire, and I think the simple message for customers is there will be no trains anywhere on the Éireann Air network, that's intercity, Dart or commuter, from the start of tomorrow morning and right through anywhere the status red warning is in place during Friday. And we can also expect significant disruption after the status red moves on. Obviously, our teams and our crews will be going around the network. We'll be sending out trains literally ahead of scheduled services to ensure that lines are clear, to, you know, clear fallen trees, fallen debris. So you can expect, and obviously we'll update this as the day unfolds tomorrow, but we can expect significant disruption to continue after the status red moves on. So
okay.
A hugely disruptive event.
So,
and obviously the scale of what Net Éireann are saying is reflected in what's happening on the network.
Right, so no trains during the red, that's an absolute definite. And then depending on the damage, services will be disrupted afterwards too.
They will. And obviously some people will have bookings with us for tomorrow. If you do and want to travel today, we will be accepting those bookings today on the services, and any cancelled services tomorrow will then be automatically refunded to customers. Obviously, we hope to get back up and running as soon as we can after the status red, but safety is first for our customers and for our crews out around the network.
All right, Barry Kenny from Irish Rail, thank you for being with us. Tadhg Daly is Chief Executive of Nursing Homes Ireland. Tadhg, we really wanted to talk to you because people who are in nursing homes or who have relatives in nursing homes might just be very worried about the implications of this and the care that's going to happen. So what can you tell us?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Well, nursing homes would have very comprehensive emergency plans in place in any event. And as an organisation, we're issuing guidance again today and advices to all our nursing homes across the country. We've also communicated with the Office of Emergency Planning, and we're in contact with the ESB to ensure that nursing homes are included in the priority planning and the response. But I suppose ultimately the issue, as you say, is to reassure residents. So that's the priority now today, is to reassure residents and make sure that people have, you know, plans in place, as it were, you know, backup power systems, water reserves, and adequate, you know, supplies of food and, mm-hmm. and medications, obviously,
but
for people.
I'm sure
one of the
challenges
the big, will be getting staffing.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. So what is expected of staff, or how are they going to be accommodated?
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, staff across the nursing home sector have been resilient over many years. Don't have to remind people of COVID, but they are very, very committed. And even in the recent snow, hearing stories of staff staying overnight in local hotels, local accommodation, or indeed staying in the nursing home. So, again, local members and local providers will be engaging with staff today to ensure that there is adequate and appropriate staffing in place overnight. And if people need to stay on site or stay local, I think that will be the issue, because transport will obviously be problematic, to say the least. And in many cases, transport won't be running where there's red weather warnings. So, look, the priority is safety first, and reassuring of residents. And I'm proud of the staff across the nursing home sector who have and will continue to prioritise the care of residents. I'm sure the same will be on this occasion.
Yeah, and there'll be plenty of people who will be working over the course of this red warning, and we think about all
Absolutely.
Of those today who are facing danger, but as you say, many of them are determined to do the job that other people will expect them to do. Tadhg, thanks very much. Tadhg Daly there, Chief Executive of Nursing Homes Ireland. County Clare, we know, will be one of the counties impacted most by the storm. We're joined on the line by Michael Vaughan from Vaughan Lodge Hotel in Lahinch. Michael, good to talk to you. The wind, I believe, is already picking up in the west, is it?
Yeah, it is. And the sea is full of the white horses, and certainly it's looking like it's going to be a piping hot storm, all right. You know, my grandmother had a great expression for a day like this. She used to say, "Michael, there's a wind out there that'll go up your skirt and air every whole part of your body."
Right.
And that's the kind of day we have here today.
Okay, so how are you getting ready then for what's coming?
Well, in the last year, we've installed 104 solar panels, so I'm just been checking those to make sure that they're well secured down. So they'll get our first test of a real West Coast storm. And just getting things out of the way and making sure windows and things are closed, and especially on the coast, things like trampolines and that are just have to be pulled in, and garden furniture and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's nobody at the coast today. There's nobody actually out walking the prom at the moment, which is a great thing because people are heeding the warnings. Mm-hmm. So beautiful rainbow coming down here in Lahinch at the moment. But it's in the middle of the night, which is a difficult time for a storm because you just don't know what it'll do.
Yeah.
Roofs particularly are always vulnerable in this mm-hmm. time.
And of course, the high tides as well. Is that a concern?
Well, in Lahinch, the high tides, not so much, because the tremendous work that was done in Rock Armour over the last 10 years by the County Council has paid dividends in the last number of years. But further down the coast, you know, down towards Loophead and that, there will be places that could be cut off. Roads out by the Scanner and Clahan, they've often lost bridges and roads out by the coast there. So they will be worrisome things. We lost a stretch of a road on the way to the Scanner a number of years ago. So Lahinch itself, no, I'm not worried about, because it has been really well fortified.
Right. Well, listen, we'll be thinking about your poor old solar panels now, and I hope they manage to make it through the night, Michael.
Very much, Clare.
Michael Vaughan there from Vaughan Lodge Hotel in Lahinch in County Clare. We're told to expect fallen trees and power outages over the coming hours. And our reporter, Maura Fay, has been in Leitrim in recent days because it's just 4 weeks since Storm Dara left residents there for up to 8 days without basic services like electricity, water, heat and broadband. It's understood the delay in restoring these services was caused by the time needed to fell forestry to get access to repair power lines. And Maura is here. Maura, there happens to be a meeting now happening tonight about the last storm rather than this one that's coming up.
Yes, here we are facing into another red weather warning, and we're still dealing with the fallout of the last one. I've been speaking to people down in Leitrim, and what I've heard repeatedly from them is that they feel forgotten about it. Anytime there are news reports about weather warnings and storm damage, they say Leitrim gets a brief mention in relation to power outages. But at a national level, it's not understood the frequency at which these outages are happening and the impact that these outages are having on their quality of life. Being frequently left without power means they're not able to heat their home or cook food or work from home. It means their children can't do their homework. They're losing all the food in their freezer, those kinds of things. It also impacts on businesses. John Brennan is the CEO of Blake's Organic, which is based in Drumshambo, and he told me about the impact of Storm Dara on his business.
Well, I suppose the main impact was the loss of electricity for 2 days and also then subsequent loss of water because of electricity pumping or electricity unavailable for pumping water, which caused us not to have water for a full week in our production unit. We manufacture a kefir product in the food hub and, you know, we had production staff there, but they couldn't do anything. And so we lost ground, especially over that Christmas New Year period where you're trying to get stocks back on shelves. Get restocked and so on. It was a kind of a, you know, it really set us back like badly, you know. But we do find around here that like any time you get any kind of storms and that, you know, you immediately get a loss of electricity. And I'm involved with numerous other businesses and, you know, it causes you either to have staff working from home, not having people coming into the office, loss of production capacity in our manufacturer facility there. And it's something that needs to be looked at because, you know, every time, this doesn't happen in other parts of the country. So there's some weaknesses in that electricity supply.
Could you put a figure on what that cost is to your own business?
Well, I mean, it could be as much as, certainly in production, it could cost us something like maybe 10,000, you know, and that per loss of a week's production, you know. So that's just off the top of my head. So in other, the other things are to do with the other businesses are people not being available in the offices, just general disruption to the ordinary flow of business.
What do you want to see being done to stop this happening in the future?
Well, I think the main thing is to make sure that if there are trees that are lying on top of electricity lines, that they are removed and that any future planting takes into account the distance, a proper setback from any kind of electricity infrastructure.
And that's John Brennan of Blake's Organic there. So Maura, who else did you speak to?
I also spoke to Micheál Geoghegan, who has a suckler and sheep farm in Aha Cashel, which is in rural Leitrim. He told me how he was affected by the power outages in December.
Well, the main impact was the power loss. You know, when the power went out, even though we have solar panels, the whole system shuts down when the power goes off, so it wasn't much benefit to us. Now, I have a generator. I was able to sort of keep a couple of lights on, and I was able to keep the well going, which we wouldn't have no water without that. But it was very inconvenient now. It was an absolute nuisance. And then my son lives next door, so I was lugging the generator down to him as well to try and keep him boosted as well. So it's just the inconvenience of it, and it's very annoying.
How long were you out without electricity and how did you kind of manage to get through that period?
Well, we were out, the power went off at about 11 o'clock on the Friday night and it didn't come back until about 7:30 on Tuesday evening. And we were quite lucky because we had neighbours who didn't come back till the following Saturday, which was like almost eight days. It was an absolute nuisance for them. But fortunately we have gas, so we were able to cook. My son didn't, which was a bit of a nuisance for him, so he was up and down to our house getting kettles boiled and stuff like that. If I hadn't had the generator to keep the well going, I'd have extra problems because the cattle in the shed would have had no water either, and then I'd, you know, obviously have to let them out, let them down to a river or something to drink them as well. So, yeah, it was uncomfortable.
What would you like to see being done about the issue?
Well, I think regulations need to change as far as the forestries are concerned. You absolutely need to stop them planting within, I'd safely say, 20 to 25 metres either side of power lines, especially the 10 kV lines, because like it makes absolutely no sense. There's a forest near me where there's a 10 kV line going into a house, and the trees are now, they're 25 feet higher than the lines, and there wouldn't be 10 feet away from them. So you can imagine what happens if the wind, fortunately this storm didn't bring them down, but I mean that line would have been completely, and it would have put everybody else on that line off as well. So they need to keep away the height, the projected height of those trees. They shouldn't plant within that area.
Micheál Geoghegan there, and John earlier on as well, both mentioning fallen trees. Maura, what was the level of damage caused to forestry in particular by Storm Dara?
So with Storm Dara, we saw strong northwesterly winds with gusts of over 130 kilometres per hour. Just to note that with Storm Éowyn, Met Éireann are predicting gale force winds that will bring severe damaging and destructive gusts, again in excess of 130 kilometres per hour. Micheál brought me to a forestry plantation where you could clearly see trees that were on north facing slopes that had been either snapped or uprooted.
We're standing here in an area and it looks like there could be 12 or 15 acres, maybe more, because we can't see it all. But it's just, it's levelled from end to end. And Fortunately, this one didn't have power lines going through it, but if it did, you can imagine the job the ESB would have to go through what we're looking at here to try and clear it to get the lines back up again. It would be, you know, a hell of a lot of work. And they did have to bring in machinery to clear out some of them, because one person or two went in with chainsaws would be pointless, you know. And it's extremely dangerous work too, because those trees are all under tension, and every time you rub a saw against a tree, it's liable to snap and take your head off. So
the fallen trees, they're all lying in different directions. It's very dense. There's no way a person could even, you know, make inroads walking in through this plantation. How will this be cleared?
Oh, machinery. They'll come in here with processors and they'll take them out, big, huge machines. And yeah, it's the only safe way to do it as well as that, because people on the ground with chainsaws, the amount of tension, and tension, as you say, in coming at every angle at you, there's no way you could go in any degree of safety and try to clear it out. It'll be all done by heavy machinery.
Do these fallen trees have economic value? Could they be used as timber or what they were originally planted for?
I'd say a lot of them will probably go for pulp now, because there'll be cracks and splits in them. They'll mostly go for pulp. I can't imagine that there'll be very much of it that'll be any sort of commercial timber value in it.
So what is it then exactly, Maura, that people want to happen here, want to be done?
They say what's really contributing to the problem is the level of commercial forestry in Leitrim. The latest statistics show that just over 20% of the land in the county is under forestry. The average for the entire country is 11.6%. So anytime there's high wind, tree falls on power lines, Leitrim is going to be more affected by the power outages. And with climate change, the problem is only going to become more frequent. Now, the guidelines that cover forestry and power lines are outlined in the Department of Agriculture's Forestry Standards Manual and are based on an agreement reached in 1992 between the department and the ESB. As the guidelines currently stand, where overhead power lines traverse a site for proposed planting, no unplanted corridor is required for low voltage lines, except for clearance from branches and treetops only. And in the case of 10 kV and 38 kV lines, a corridor of 20 metres is required, 50% of this corridor being either side of the power lines. So that's a 10 metre clearance either side of the line. People would like to see those guidelines revised and updated.
All right, because they say in their recent experience that clearance, it's just not enough. So what do the Department of Agriculture and the ESB have to say about it all?
So the Department of Agriculture says it acknowledges that the recent outages are of concern to affected landowners. Given recent events, it will be seeking a meeting with the ESB to discuss in more detail whether any further measures are needed to mitigate or prevent such outages. It is likely that there could be a range of factors involved, and that the outages have also taken place on land with trees planted outside of forests. It also says that under current legislation, the ESB and its representatives are empowered to lop or cut any tree, shrub or hedge which obstructs or interferes with electrical wires. Such works are a matter between the ESB and anyone acting on their behalf and the landowner in question, and do not require a felling licence from the department. The ESB says, "We are aware of areas where forestry has significantly impacted on our network and supply to customers, especially during recent weather events, following which our teams had to extensively rebuild damaged infrastructure to reconnect our customers. We look forward to working with all stakeholders to ensure that the reforestation programme does not adversely impact our customers. ESB Networks is committed to playing our part in achieving the government's climate action targets."
And you'd imagine it's in everyone's interest to sort this out so that it doesn't keep happening. So the public meeting then that is going ahead tonight, where is it happening?
It takes place at 7 p.m. in the Den on Swanlinbar Road in Ballinamore and Leitrim, and all stakeholders have been invited to attend.
All right, so they're grappling with the long-term planning, but then there's the worry of the other storm coming tonight. Maura Fey, thank you very much for bringing all of that to us. Coming up, a new fast-moving LA wildfire, plus will the Dáil be sitting at 11:30 as is now planned? We'll cross to Barry Lenehan. That's on the way.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.